Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Yep, we're building up on our conversations around company results, and tonight we follow through with results that were shared last week by Dis-Chem. As we would all know, one of the largest and leading pharmacy groups in South Africa, which has grown from strength to strength following its listing just over, 5 years ago, if not longer, but essentially a significant boost in earnings for the company. Revenue increased by well over 8% to 39 billion rand, and also seeing that it is seeing growth within the outlets and stores that it certainly has, and even increasing its dividend to investors by 19%. Let's talk about the business itself. Rui Murray joins us now as the CEO of Dis-Chem. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Mr. Murray, and such a pleasure to get some details regarding the company's operations. I know you've had the weekend at least to catch your breath, but as we reflect on the last operating period for the business that's been published of late, really does seem as though you are growing despite the market having some difficulties from a macroeconomic point of view. Maybe share with us a quick overview of some of the highlights for you in particular.
Sure. So, evening, everyone. I think the most important thing for us was just the delivery of continued market share growth in the dispensary part of the business. I mean, we've established ourselves as a healthcare authority in South Africa, and I think staying true to that means, you know, that we have to garner as many scripts as is possible to understand kind of the baseline reading of South Africa. And I think the success in some of the investment and initiatives that we've invested into that part of the business has allowed us to benefit from, you know, the foot traffic kind of sharing the rest of their basket with us, you know, which is the normal kind of front shop and personal care goods that we carry. So that's very much a highlight, the continued improvement in our market share and dispensary. And then I guess reflecting on it myself, just the cost control piece. We really managed cost in a tough market really well, and it wasn't at the expense of service or investing in people. It was done cleverly around ratio changes and ensuring that the way that we service, we managed to reduce the cost of servicing, but never at the expense of people or customer service. So those would be the two highlights from myself.
That ratio expanding or changing, help us understand, is that something that we would be able to witness as customers walking into your stores?
Yeah, so I think it's got to do with our ambitions around ensuring that, you know, the clinicians in our environment, so if you think about clinic sisters, pharmacists, post-basic qualifieds, they practice at the top of their scope. And if you think about someone engaging with a pharmacy or a dispensing point, at many instances, you are not sure whether that person who's capturing your script, so doing the administration behind script capturing, is actually a post-basic qualified or pharmacist. Of course, the post-basic qualified is a lot cheaper than a registered pharmacist. And what we've done is we've changed the ratio to increase the amount of post-basic qualifieds to increase the service that we offer consumers and allows the pharmacist to do what they intend to doing, which is sense checking the script and the medication is correct, engaging with the customer, you know, to discuss, or patient to discuss consequences of side effects. So that would be one of the ratio changes that we implemented in this last financial year.
Mm-hmm. This is critical because it does provide a different experience for consumers, but I guess a more fulfilling one, especially given the theme that you highlighted being a healthcare authority. And maybe this helps us put things into context around, you know, the experience that you'd like the Dis-Chem customer to have next time they come into your store.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so if you think about your engagement with a pharmacist, I mean, a pharmacist from a profession perspective is one of the most trusted individuals in South Africa. You know, that's come from many customer surveys and a lot of customer research. And I think opening up the ability for the pharmacist to truly engage with the customer and the patient, not just to kind of tab through a computer screen and capture the script, is real healthcare delivery. You know, firstly, if you think about it, the engagement with a pharmacist, other than the dispense part of that engagement, is really the only free consultation or medical consultation service that exists in South Africa, if you really think about it. And opening up that consultation is super important. And, you know, we have many, many pharmacists, we have many, many post-basic qualifieds, and we service many, many South Africans at our dispensing points. So that ratio change, while tactical and allows us to reduce the cost of dispense, it allows us to invest that additional kind of margin in employing pharmacists and enabling what I just described.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I'm appreciating this conversation, Rui, because it's giving us more layers and perspective around the strategy that you've mentioned of the business as being a healthcare authority in the country. That also speaks to the medical insurance that you do provide that's easily available for anyone to access through your website. I'm keen to understand what the numbers look like there in terms of access, penetration, and perhaps consistency, especially when it comes to consumers paying for such a service in what's already a very tough environment.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a very interesting question. I must be honest, one of the better ones that I've gotten on radio interviews, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I think, look, interestingly enough, I mean, when we launched our medical insurance product, which is a very rich day-to-day benefit stack, and by that I mean it gives you access to GPs, to clinicians, to medicine, you know, many optometrists, dentistry. Well, one of the things that we found was quite challenging was the market didn't understand the product. So we went through an evolution of having to educate and build the market as we were selling into it. You know, to date, we have the biggest retail offering in the market by probably 4 or 5 times. So the market definitely exists. I think we've proven that. We continue to have record month on record month in terms of policy sales. Mm-hmm. I guess mass market South Africa does have the risk associated with lapse. So that's like a debit order not striking. But that's also the reason why we've created what is a phenomenal rewards program, which in theory, if it stays true to the ambitions of what we're trying to do, it opens up value in the consumer's wallet, you know, to allow them the affordability of medical insurance. So medical insurance was kind of our first step into what is healthcare funding. I mean, we've also now recently launched a life insurance product, and it's very much a life insurance product through a healthcare lens. So for example, we understand the risk of chronic patients. So we don't load a premium just because you're a chronic patient. Many chronic patients are adherent to their medication, and they are as healthy as someone who doesn't have a chronic condition in terms of the risk that they provide on a life product. Mm-hmm. And they've been penalized for many, many years. So, you know, that is when you look at a life product through a healthcare lens and you can control the supply side, so the adherence to the medication, et cetera, you can really unlock customers for value for customers and patients.
Got you. From what I'm understanding, it almost seems as though, you know, there's this ecosystem you're creating is get access to the necessary insurance and cover. You are rewarded for it through the loyalty program. And of course, you get to access these services and products and benefits through access to your retail stores. I'm intrigued by the numbers, and hopefully you can give us a little bit more detail in terms of where your numbers stand right now for medical insurance, but also what the target might be in the short to medium term that you're working towards.
Yeah, so I mean, out of our medical insurance product, I mean, we're close on 100,000 policies. So I mean, it's decent traction in a market that didn't exist. I mean, obviously, the opportunity, if you think about it, is beyond millions and millions of South Africans. I mean, you know, depending on how you read the market, because this is really placed into a market where people are employed, so earning a salary, but uninsured, so they don't have any sort of private medical cover. I mean, that number, depending on how you read it, is between 8 and 10 million people. So the penetration of the product is still very new. But what we are seeing, as I said, is kind of the step change and people understanding what the product is, and more importantly, the youth, you know, the younger generation appreciating that this is a version of private cover that actually suits their needs. You know, it still covers hospitalization in the event of kind of accident or trauma. You know, so it's a very comprehensive product for the value, which is, you know, close on 500 rand a month. So just a well-placed, well-priced kind of product, and I think it's just the evolution of the market understanding it, and we'll continue to see growth in the space.
100%. Looking forward to seeing what that does look like going forward, Rui, because I think there's so many intimate and interesting insights and intricacies that also exist within that particular space. But if we do shift gears now, just to take a look at some of your other divisions, we do see that your baby stores, you are looking to expand that footprint as well going forward. But how's that performed? And I ask this as an intriguing question because a few of your peers in the industry, like Pepco, recently mentioned that there's been a real uptick in the purchase of baby clothes. Are you seeing something similar in terms of South African shopping trends?
So, I mean, we our read on the market is quite different. I mean, we obviously don't see clothing as a subcategory that we chase. So, I mean, when we look at the baby market, it's really very much in the hard space, which is, I suppose, defined by prams and cots, for example. And then in the commoditized space, which is really baby paper and baby food, baby paper being nappies and wipes. The interesting thing about Baby, and it's interesting that you say that about Pepkor, but the interesting thing about Baby is that the market's actually contracted for the last 3 years. So the birth rates in South Africa has declined by about 1.5% a year in the last 3 years. So you actually have a shrinking market in South Africa from a baby perspective. And you see a lot of the shift into the commoditized kind of paper and food products in Baby, which, you know, really sell on promotion in South Africa predominantly. So, you know, the need to have standalone baby stores now versus a few years ago is less relevant. And you think a lot, and you see a lot of retailers who have moved into the baby space have kind of halted their expansion strategies when it comes to baby. So for us, it's really about right-sizing the asset. I mean, baby is a super important category for us. Mm-hmm. And you'll see more combination type stores where we have the baby city offering kind of imprinted within the Dis-Chem store. And then, you know, we continue to carry the very well traded kind of baby city stores. So not an expansion strategy in the same way that we're thinking about the Dis-Chem footprint, which is growing like 40 stores a year, but certainly an important category for us.
Got you. This is so intriguing, Rui. I guess to close off with, I could talk to you for hours on end about your strategy and customer insights and rewards and loyalty. But for now, where things stand, speaking to an audience of largely customers who are aware of your store, but also investors who are quite keen to understand more about the expansion strategy, what can we look forward to? Or what are you working towards in the short to medium term as a CEO, looking at South Africa's macroeconomic environment, ongoing expansion, and what that might mean in call for to ensure sustainability in the strategy you've mentioned?
Yeah, so I think from a Dis-Chem perspective, I mean, our ambitions are centered around like our 8 strategic pillars. I mean, how it renders to consumers and maybe interpreted by investors is simply the addition of a lot more space. So the growth of our network is important if we want to stay true to the ambitions of being South Africa's healthcare authority. I mean, you know, the stores effectively give us supply side. In terms of healthcare. So if you think about our stores, you know, you get access to pharmacies and clinics. They're actually the entry point of healthcare delivery in South Africa. And as we think about the benefit stack, so the health funding side, about building products that enable people to consume those services, then, you know, a growing network is important. So 40 stores coming on board next year and north of that in the following year. I think in the immediate short term, so certainly within the next 12 calendar months, you will see a relaunch of our loyalty program, which will be completely differentiated from what we currently have. And it's a very exciting thing for me because I think it will radically reward consumers for their loyalty within the ecosystem that you described and seriously reward, not just 1 or 2% back. You know, this is meaningful rewards that really does open up value in the consumer's wallet to spend on their health. And I think, you know, those two things are certainly kind of the focus areas for the next 12 months. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that maybe consumers will also experience is just a complete radical approach to omnichannel environment. So like the digitization of our brand, ensuring that our brand in the digital world offers the same things that we offer in the physical world, okay. Not only from delivery of product perspective, but also consumption of healthcare. So those are the immediate things that we're working on, you know, and hopefully customers experience it and investors see it.
100%. Looking forward to getting more updates from you, Rui. Really appreciate it. This has been a very educational conversation. All the best with the Management Roadshow and looking forward to touching base with you in future.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you. That's Rui Morais, who is the CEO of Dis-Chem, helping us get a better understanding not only of their most recently published financial results.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.